From the very first moment Jesus came, there never was a man like him. He was God's own son, come down to earth. There's never been a man like him. He was holy, he was sinless, and he loved each one the same. He was Savior and Redeemer, King of kings and Lord of lords. From the very first moment Jesus came, there never was a man like him. Have you ever thought how the world would be if Jesus had not come our way? What a dreadful loss for all mankind if Jesus had not come to save. 'Cause he was holy, he was sinless, and he loved each one the same. He was Savior and Redeemer, King of kings and Lord of lords. From the very first moment Jesus came, there never was a man like him. There is coming a glad and happy day when Jesus will return again. Every knee shall bow before the King. There's never been a man like him. He was holy, he was sinless, and he loved each one the same. He was Savior and Redeemer, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Crown him King and Lord of all. From the very first moment Jesus came, there never was a man like him.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Shaddix, and I concur, don't you? Never was a man like Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him this morning, you're going to have an opportunity to get acquainted with him shortly. And I promise you, he'll change your life. He'll change your direction. He'll change everything about your what you thought was important. He can change all of that and show you what really is important in life that has eternal value. Thank you again for being here and being a part of this last Sunday service, or Sunday of 2012. I'm looking forward to the new year and what God has planned. Take your Bible and join me, if you would, this morning in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter number 6. Now, while you're turning there, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know, basically the book of Judges deals with the people of God. They would get in trouble. They'd get out of line with God. Then God would bring them back. He would send a judge there, and they would come back, and then they would go back and do that which was right in their own eyes, and then God would have to chastise them, and they'd cry out to the Lord. And this thing went back and forth and back and forth through the entire book of Judges. Golly, it kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like what we do today. We go back and forth and back and forth. And boy, we get ourselves in a mess and God delivers us and we think, man, God is God. I'll serve Him with the rest of my life. 6 months later, we're back in the same situation. We go back and forth and back and forth. You ever feel that way? Do you ever feel that maybe 2012 was that way for you? You know, here we are, we're in the last Sunday of the year. I wonder how many of you have had an opportunity to evaluate 2012 and what you've done for Christ. What did you do in 2012 that's going to last for eternity? Did you win anybody to Christ? Did you show anybody how to be saved? Did you open the Bible and share the gospel with anybody? Those are the things that are going to last for eternity. Folks, you know all that money you got in the bank? You say, what money? Well, for some. You know all those possessions that we've got stored? You know what's going to happen to all those? They're going to go bye-bye. You're not going to take them with you. The only thing that's going to be that you're taking out of this world is what you've done for Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that this morning. If you've joined me in Judges chapter 6, would you stand with me? For those of you that are familiar with the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6 deals with a man by the name of Gideon. The people of God have kind of stepped out of line with God. This time, boy, they've really messed up big time because they went into idolatry. And they began to serve other gods, and God found a man by the name of Gideon. To make a long story short, he said, listen, I'm going to use you to deliver the people of God. And Gideon says, what are you, me? I'm not a soldier. I'm not who you're looking for. Are you sure you got the right guy? And God says, listen, you just don't worry. You just be available, and I'll do all the work. Now, the thing about it is we're going to find some humanly speaking flaws in Gideon's character that most of us have, right? Because God has spoke to many of you, and God has said, listen, I got something special for you. And you say, me? Are you talking to me, Lord? I can't be used. I'm not a professional in anything. I'm just little old me. I'm just minding my own business. Well, I found out that sometimes when you're minding your own business, that's exactly when God finds you. Because you know what? He wants you to start minding His business. And that's what Gideon was. And God used Gideon, if you know the story, to deliver the people of God out of the hands of the Midianites. With 300 men. Amen. 300 men. Now, he thought he needed more than that. God said, you don't need that many. 300 men, a few horns, a clay pot, a light, and then all they did was shout. You know what the enemy did? Ran and started to take their own lives. You say, man, that's not true. Listen, everything's possible with God. You see, the thing about it is here's what we do. We try to figure God out. Don't try to, I've tried that many times. All you're going to do is get a headache and you're going to need to take some Advil. Okay? Don't waste your time. Don't try to figure God out. Just obey God. Okay, this year, stop trying to figure out what God's up to and just start obeying Him. And you know what I found out? The more you obey Him, the more He reveals. The more He shows you what's going on. And a little bit, He began to give Gideon just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And see, the thing is, God knows that if He revealed everything to you, you know what most of us do? We turn tail and run. So He doesn't reveal everything up front. He gives you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more as we go. And as we obey. Well, Gideon was kind of like us. He thought, you know, Lord, now listen, I don't want you to be angry at me, but I'm not really sure I can do this. So here's what he decided to do. He decided to test God. You ever done that? He decided, I tell you what, just to make sure that God's on my side. Now, Lord, don't be mad at me now. You know, I'm just a human being. And he said, I just need some affirmation here, okay? I just need to know that you're with me. Are you picking me up here in Judges 6 and verse 36? And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. That's twice now. He said, it's not that I don't know what you've said. He said, I need a sign here. I need to see something more than just your word. You say, man, that guy don't have any faith at all. Well, how many times have you done that? Let's be honest now. How many times have you done that And listen, here's the thing about it is, at least in this place, Gideon was doing it openly. Most of us do it in private. Huh? And we do it in private so nobody can see. But listen, what happens? And it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow and thrust the fleece together. Listen what happened. And he wringed the dew out of the fleece. Now here's what I want to preach on right here. Underline this phrase. A bowl full of water. A bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak once, but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground, and let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon all the fleece, upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now go back to verse number 38. His initial test was this. I'm going to put the fleece out. Dew on the fleece, soak it, Lord. Dew on the fleece, dry on the ground. He gets up the next morning, guess what? It's exactly as he had prayed. It's exactly, and so what he does, he takes the fleece and wrings it out into a bowl. And there the scripture, one little phrase, many times probably passed all of us up, but one little phrase, a bowl full of water. And I want you to think about that phrase this morning as I speak. Father, would you help us now and would you guide us in all that we do? Thank you for your blessings. And this past year, 2012, Lord, has been difficult for many in this room. Lord, some have battled health issues, financial issues. They've battled crisis and challenges, Lord. And sometimes we look back and we think, Lord, what are you doing? What is happening? What do you want from us? And I pray that, Lord, after we leave this morning, that we might understand what you're doing. Because I believe that you've set now before us today a bowl full of water. That we might peer upon that water and that we might realize there's more in that bowl than just water. There's evidences there that we need to pay attention to of what you're doing in our life. We'll give all the glory to what you'll do now in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, Gideon was not a very confident man. Nor was he a man of great valor or great faith. Yet, here's the thing, the unique thing about the story is God still was willing to intervene in his life and use him regardless of his condition, regardless of his situation. Five different times, and we're going to look at them just right quick, five different times Gideon showed his humanity and struggles with God's will for his life. I want you to look at him, if you would. Go back to Judges chapter 6, and I want you to look at it. First one you'll find in verse 13. The first time that God comes to Gideon and says this, in verse 12, he says, And the Lord is with thee. And here's what he says to Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Now what Gideon's doing is he's threshing wheat. Because what was happening is the Midianites were going and they were taking all the food supply. They were taking everything away. So he was doing this in secret. And he was threshing wheat so that he could hide it from the Midianites so that they would have something to eat. Listen, he wasn't a soldier. He wasn't a mighty man of valor. He was just minding his own business, threshing wheat. And yet, listen to what he says in verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all these things befalling us? Now wait a minute, Lord, if we're the people of God, then why are all these problems coming our way? Why is 2012 been so difficult for me? I thought I was a child of God. I thought you cared about me. I thought you loved me. Why have all of these problems come my way in 2012? That's what Gideon was saying. He said, Lord, if we're the people of God, then why has all of these things befallen us? Why are we going through all of these problems? You ever question situations like that when God has allowed you to go through challenges in life? Have you said, Lord, wait a minute, now if I'm a child of God, why am I going through this? Why have all of these things happened to me? Look at the second thing that Gideon faces in verse number 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, Gideon does to the Lord, when God began to reveal his plan that he was going to deliver them out of the hand of the Midianites, he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He said, I can't do this. He said, Lord, I'm not a man of valor. I'm not a soldier. I haven't been trained to do this. But listen to me, folks. God doesn't need a whole lot of training if you'll just be willing. You see, what we get into, we get to that people have to go through all of these different things in order for God to use them. Listen to me. Yes, does God want us to be smart and about what we're doing? Absolutely. Does He want us to get proper training? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. That's not the bottom line when it comes to God using people. Gideon was just minding his own business. But when God came to him, he says, well, then why is all this happening? He said, I'm the least in my father's house. Look, if you would, in verse 17, look what else he says. And he said unto him, to the Lord, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Now listen to me. You need to understand something here. Gideon was raised up in a time where the people of God had gone AWOL on God. They were serving other idols. They had set up high places. All of these things. Gideon was exposed to all this. Listen, his faith was probably at its lowest point in his life. You see, God decided that he was going to allow himself to follow through with Gideon's request. You know why God did this? Because Gideon needed some confidence. Gideon needed a sign. Gideon needed a little spark of faith in his life. God doesn't do that for everybody. You say, why not? Because some of us, we've been around long enough, we know the Word of God long enough, and have known the Word of God long enough, and what's happening is, most of us, it's not that we don't know the Word, it's just that we're not practicing the Word. And what we want to do is, we want to put out a fleece like Gideon did, and we expect God, and when God doesn't do anything, you know what? I'm done. And yet Gideon had a faith problem. Gideon was raised up in a time to where people had gone AWOL on God. He says, Lord, give me a sign. So here's what he does. He goes, prepares flesh, and he goes, prepares bread, and he puts them in a basket. And the angel of the Lord said, put them on this rock. And he puts them on this rock. He says, pour out the broth. He does, and he reaches and touches his staff, and fire comes out of the rock and consumes. He said, there you go. There's the sign. Now, you would think, okay, that did it for me, right? That did it for me. Fire out of a rock, consumed it. I'm on God's side. God's with me. The amazing thing, it didn't end there, though. Now listen, Gideon had every opportunity to see the hand of God at work. You see, three times already we've seen Gideon question the things of God. Look at verse 27. And Gideon took 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord. Here's what God told him to do. God says, listen, we got to take care of a little bit of business. We need to go and we're going to tear down the altars that your fathers built. And he says, so I want you to go get that done, tear those down, offer, build an altar to me and offer a sacrifice. Look at what it says. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. God said, here's what I want you to do. Gideon said, well, I can't do it. I'm kind of afraid. Because if I do this by day, people know who I am. Amen. You see, the thing about it is, folks, let me break some news to you. God is not into undercover Christianity. He wants it done in the day. He wants it done where you can be seen. And yet some of us, we call ourselves believers, and we creep around at night trying to live for God. And God says, I don't want that. I want it done the way that I want it done. I want Christianity is to be in the light. It's to be exposed, not to be hid. But Gideon said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And then look at verse number 37, as we read just a moment ago. And then he puts out the fleece and said, Lord, would you put dew on the fleece and let it be dry on the ground? And God did this. Listen, God did these things for Gideon. Even though he was not a soldier, he was not experienced in battle, and yet God did not reveal the total plan to Gideon. And can I say this to you this morning? This is pretty typical of how God works in our lives today. He's not going to always reveal everything about the plan for your life. Why? Because he wants you to obey one step at a time. He doesn't want you necessarily to see the whole picture. The good thing about this is I don't have to see the whole picture. He sees the whole picture for me. All I have to do is follow the footsteps and the path that he's leading me in. That's all he wants for me. That's all he did for Gideon. Gideon was just minding his own business, and boy, God interrupted his life. You see, in 2012, for many in this room, God interrupted your life in some things, didn't He? Some things that were unpredictable happened in your life. Some things that were very unlikely happened in your life in 2012. And some of you may have thought, Lord, I don't understand. What value is there to what You allowed to happen in my life? I'm here to tell you, everything that happened in your life in 2012 had some eternal value to it. Everything. Because God's working everything out, not only for your good, but for His glory. Some of the most unpredictable things may have happened in your life, just like they happened in Gideon's life. Maybe some things that God asked you to do in 2012. And maybe you did, and some things maybe you didn't. Gideon said, Lord, I'm not a man of valor. I don't know what You're up to. I don't know what You want from me, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take one step at a time. I'm going to do it. Now listen, along the way, though, he began not only to fear, he began to question. Listen, he wasn't a great man of faith. He tested God on 3 different occasions. And yet God still used him. Listen, if you feel that your attitude was not the greatest in 2012 as far as God's doings in your life, well, neither was Gideon's at first. You know what changed his mind? Listen to me. A bowl full of water. A bowl full of water got his attention from God. You see, Gideon doubted his value to God's plan in his life. That's what verse 15 said. Listen, I'm the least in my father's house. Why do you want me? God said, that's the kind of people I like to use. I kind of like to use the people who don't think that they're usable. He says, that's the way I can get more glory out of their life than I can of Mr. Prideful over here that thinks that, you know what, he needs to be used. God many times directs us in those paths of life. Gideon doubted his value. Listen to me. Some of you did the exact same thing in 2012. You doubted your worth to God. You doubted your value to God. And some of you even came this close to not only quitting God, but quitting His church. Quit living for God. You say, Lord, You don't need me. Can I say something to you? If you're a child of God this morning, God needs you. He needs you. Folks, listen, people, they're not busting the doors of the church to get in to serve. He needs you. Gideon doubted his value to God's plan. He feared his inability to accomplish God's desires. He said, Lord, would You just show me that You're with me? Because I really don't have a whole lot of confidence that I can get this done. God said, listen, all I need from you is just keep going forward. All I need from you is just keep moving. All I need for you, just don't quit. Don't stop. You just keep going the direction that I tell you to go. You see, what I'm saying to you this morning is this. Gideon doubted his value, but yet God used him. Gideon doubted and feared his ability to accomplish the task, but yet God pursued him. And Gideon questioned his faith in God's direction that we know with the fleece. He said, man, this guy, he's nothing special. Well, you know what? And neither are we. That's the reason God has a desire for you. That's the reason He worked in your life in 2012. Because you know what? There's a 2013 waiting for you. And He needed a 2012 life. He needed to operate in 2012 in your life to prepare you for what you're going to face in 2013. You see, although these things existed in Gideon's life, God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't even see in himself. God saw something in him, a potential, an ability that all God had to do was to tweak. All God had to do was to put His hand on, and God was going to get greater glory than what Gideon thought He could give Him himself. You see, God saw some divine potential in spite of Gideon's doubts, in spite of his fears, in spite of his questions. You say, what was it, preacher, that convinced him? I know this is going to shock you. A bowl full of water. You see, what we're looking for is we're looking for God to write it in the sky. We're looking for God to send us a postcard. And God says, no, you know what? I'll reveal My will in as simple a form as a bowl full of water. You say, preacher, what is that? What is it? What is this? What are we talking about here? Well, let me ask you a couple of things. First of all, when Gideon went and got the fleece, why didn't he just wring the water out on the ground? Why didn't he just take the fleece and go, okay. praise God. But he didn't. Why didn't he just reach his hand over there and touch it and say, yeah, he's right, it's wet. Why didn't he do that? Why did he take the fleece and wring it out? Why did he wring it out and collect a bowl full of water? Why did he take time to wring out the fleece when he could have just taken it, felt it, he could have just wrung it out on the ground? Listen to me, because if he'd have wrung the water out on the ground, he would have forgotten what God had done for him. You see, what happens is, folks, God is trying to do something. What we do is we take and we wring it out. We wring it out on the ground. And God wants us to remember. God wants us to think about what he's doing. You see, Gideon was part of a people and a generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord. They begin to worship other gods. He said, I don't want you to forget me. He said, so I'm going to follow through. I'm going to allow myself to be put to the test. And Gideon was convinced. But what convinced him was not necessarily the fleece. What convinced him, obviously, was not fire out of a rock. You know what convinced him? A bowl of water. A bowl of water. It's that simple, folks. God's not trying to play hide and seek with you. God is trying to do something so that you will pay attention to what he's trying to do. You see, Gideon was not in a place of confidence or security, so God had to build that in his character. 2012 was spent for some of us building our character. Folks, listen, I spent 52 weeks preaching on character, this church. You know why? Because God's trying to do something in your life. What he's trying to do is trying to wring your life out and collect a bowl full of water for you, so that you'll not forget what God has done. You see, that's why God allowed himself to be put to these tests. But that bowl full of water was not just any ordinary bowl of water. You see, that bowl of water, every time that Gideon looked into that bowl, he saw something far greater than water in that bowl. I think the reason he took that fleece and wrung a bowl full of water out was this. Because I think, first of all, every time that he looked at that water was confirmation of the goodness of God. You see, the thing about it is, he didn't want God to be upset with him. He said, Lord, listen, I'm just a human being. I'm not a soldier. You're asking me to deliver a whole nation. I've never done this before. Please, would you help give me some confidence? God said, sure. I'll help you out there, buddy. So Gideon says, well, listen, I'm going to do this. And angel of the Lord stuck his staff and fire came out of the rock and consumed it. Now that's pretty convincing, wouldn't you? I've never seen fire come out of a rock. Have you? I think I'd be pretty convinced. Okay, you're God. All right, I'm with you, Lord. He said, but golly, you know, this is a big army. There's a lot of things we got to do, and I'm not a soldier, and I'm not a planner, and I'm not an organizer. And so, Lord, don't be angry with me. I'm going to go ahead and test you at least two more times. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me help you with something. Did you know the scripture says that God knows that you're but dust of the ground? He knows that you have been infected, your body, your flesh has been infected with sin and doubt. It's been infected with things that he knows that are contrary to this book and contrary to him. So many times we think, oh, God's mad at me. Well, let me tell you something. If you're trying to do right, and your faith is at a small level that you can just barely put in a thimble, you know what God wants to do? He wants to increase that faith in your life. He's not mad if you say, Lord, listen, I'm going to put my fleece out. Please don't anger me. He said, listen, I know where you are, buddy. He said, put her on out there. I'm going to show you the power of God. And he does. And listen, we think, oh, but that's a lack of faith. Well, listen, Gideon wasn't a soldier. God was asking him to do something totally contrary to everything that he had ever known in life. And God may be asking some of you, maybe he did in 2012. You see, when Gideon looked at that water, it was confirmation of the goodness of God. Listen to me, that water revealed the patience and long-suffering of God. Gideon could have said, oh my. Or God could have said, Gideon, you know what? I'm tired of your doubting. I'm tired of your fear. I'm tired of your questioning me. You know what? You're right. You are nothing. Get out of my way and I'll find somebody that wants to. Gideon said, oh Lord, please don't be angry at me. I'm not where I need to be. I know I can be better. I know I can do a better job as a Christian. Please don't be angry with me, Lord. He said, just help me to understand. Help me to know a little bit more. And God revealed a little bit more. And God revealed a little bit more. And God revealed a little bit more. Next thing you know, guess what we have? We have victory for Israel. The Midianites are destroyed. And here's a guy that God found threshing wheat. And now he's a captain. Leading men. You say, I could never do that. Won't you give God an opportunity? See what's happening. You know what most of you are doing this morning? You're threshing wheat. You're just threshing wheat, just going about your business. Oh, that's the best time for God to find you. That's the best time if you'll just do what God wants you to do. Listen, that water revealed the patience and long-suffering of God. How many times in 2012 did you doubt or question God's word or His will for you? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to examine yourself. 2012 was preparation for 2013. Because God has some special things for you this coming year. How often did you fear His instructions? Did God tell you to do something and go take care of some business for Him? You said, Lord, I don't know, I'm afraid. You see, the reason that people don't go out and knock doors and confront people about their soul, the number one reason is because they're afraid. Listen, fear is not of God. Fear's of the spirit of darkness. Because Satan doesn't want souls to be saved. He's going to thrash your soul with fear. Listen, Gideon looked at that water that he had wrung out of that fleece. That was more than water there, friend. When he looked at that water, that was the patience and long-suffering of God. God was patient and long-suffering with us this year. Not only did it reveal the patience and long-suffering of God, listen, it exposed His desire, God's desire, to be involved in your life. God wants to be involved in your life. Listen, if He didn't want to get involved in Gideon's life, He could have gone found somebody else, right? But He didn't. He found a guy threshing wheat that didn't think much about himself, that didn't think he had any abilities, and God said, you don't have to have a lot of ability. All you got to do is just do what I tell you to do. Now, I wonder how many of us would have gone up to face a mighty army. The Scripture describes they were like grasshoppers in the valley with a horn, a pot, and a candle. What are we going to do? We're going to win the victory. We are? What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to blow the horn. We're going to crack the pot. Or for some of us, that would be not hard to do. How about let's bust the pot, all right? So we're going to sound the horn, bust the pot, and then we're going to shout the sword of the Lord and get in, and they're all going to kill themselves and run. All right, guys, everybody ready? Now listen, the other people that went home, the reason they went home was because of their carelessness. The 300 men that he had, you know what? They would probably have done anything. Why? Because they were careful about the Lord's things. They were careful about their life. You see, that water that Gideon looked at, it was more than just water that he wrung out of that fleece. When he looked into that bowl, it represented and revealed the patience and long-suffering of God. But listen, it exposed God's power and God's desire to get involved in his life. Listen, what God does, he does to better you. Listen, not to batter you. What he did in 2012 was to better your life, to help you. So, well, I don't see any positive things. Wait a minute now. It's all right. You may not see it now, but you will later. You see, God wants to be trusted. He wants to be loved. He wants to be obeyed. You see, that water was confirmation of the goodness of God. Long-suffering showed the patience and long-suffering God, how God wants to be involved in our life. Listen, it showed that God can take somebody right where they are and make them to what He wants them to be. You see, the thing about it is, what you're going to face in 2013 may be more difficult than what you faced in 2012. So you know what God did? God worked in your life in 2012 so that 2013, when you face the more difficult times, that you might do a little bit better job. You might give Him more honor and glory and praise because of what He's done for you and through you in 2012. Hey, Gideon went from minding his own business to minding the things of God. You see, Gideon went from threshing wheat to leading men. Oh, by the way, folks, that's a pretty good step. That's a pretty big step right there. But that water was confirmation of the goodness of God. that he wrung out of that fleece. And when he looked a bowl full of water, he said, oh, God's good. Oh, is God good? Listen, was God good to you in 2012? Oh, he was so good to me. You say, how do you know he's good to you? Watch this. I'm alive. That's how good he is. Hey, that water, every time I wake up every morning, you know what I see? A bowl of water. Full of water. Why? Because I'm alive because of his patience and long suffering. I'm alive here today because he wants to get involved in my life. I'm alive today because God wants to do something in me just like he wants to do something in you. I wonder how many of us woke up this morning and found a bowl of water at your bed and looked down there and said, oh, isn't God good? But wait a minute, there was something else Gideon saw. It wasn't just the goodness of God. When he looked down at that water, he saw that that water was an affirmation from God. It was an affirmation of God's attentiveness in his life. Hey, listen, God has paid attention to your life. That's a reason that God allowed you to face some issues and face some things this year in your life. He hasn't forgotten where you are. He hasn't, listen, he didn't forget the crisis and the challenges that you faced this year. He wasn't surprised by any of this. God already knew all of this was going to happen according to his divine plan. Hey, listen, he was working in you in ways that you could not imagine. You see, God saw in Gideon something Gideon didn't even see in himself. And in 2012, God's trying to develop, or did try to develop something in you you didn't even think could be developed in you. And God has been working in your life. Why? Because he's got greater and bigger and better things in 2013 for you. That water was not just a confirmation of the goodness of God. It was affirmation that God's paying attention to you. He knows who you are and what's going on in your life. You see, sometimes we don't realize God is working, but what he's doing, listen, he promises in Hebrews 13 and verse number 5 that he would never leave us nor forsake us. God sometimes is doing some things when you're not even conscious that it's going on. Picture it this way. Many here in this room have gone through some form of surgery before. How would you like to have gone through that surgery awake? Anybody for that? No, you know what the doctor did? What the surgeon did is he brought in some guy called an anesthesiologist that would administer to you anesthesia, and you would go night-night. You would go so deep into night-night that you wouldn't even feel what the surgeon was doing. But boy, when you woke up, oh boy, something happened to me. Oh, I'm hurting, I'm pain. And then, listen, and we take that. And you can see the bottom of them. You see, you know that you needed something to happen in your life in 2012. So you know what God did? He administered some anesthesia. And he began to work in your life while you were not conscious of him working. You couldn't see any good. You didn't know what was going on. And God says, listen, if I did this while you were conscious, it would cause more pain. And so I'm going to do this in your life for you when you are not conscious that I'm doing it, so that you'll still serve me and you'll still be joyful. Listen, people wake up out of surgery. You know what? The doctor comes in and said, listen, just want to let you know, man, everything went exactly according to plan. He said, man, everything was exactly what we thought. We took care of the problem. You're as good as new. I don't feel very good. I don't feel like I'm as good as new. You see, listen to me. I didn't have to see or know everything to appreciate the value of the doctor. Right? I didn't have to be awake while he was doing surgery. I didn't have to be awake while he was administering what needed to be administered. I didn't have to be awake or conscious or know all the details. Listen, the thing about it is, if he took care of my problem and I wake up in 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, 10 months from now, if I'm better off than I was before I went in, it was worth it. But see, a lot of times we don't get to experience the benefit of the surgery for weeks and maybe sometimes months later. We have to go through various types of rehabilitation. But in the end, you know what? We're happy it got done, right? That's what God tried to do with some of your lives in 2012. You see, that water was an affirmation of His attentiveness. He's paid attention to your life. Listen, He also answered lots of prayer in your life in 2012. You see, Gideon told God, Lord, show me a sign. God said, that's fine. He said, put all this stuff right here on this rock. Consumed it with fire. Gideon said, Lord, don't be mad. Show me another sign. We'll put this fleece out. Let it be wet. God said, that's fine. Gideon took it, could have wrung it out on the ground. If he'd done, he'd have forgot everything. But he didn't. He wrung it out, a bowl full of water. So when he saw that bowl, it was confirmation. When he saw that bowl, it was affirmation. Listen to me, number three, and I'll finish here. That bowl of water was a sign of reformation by God's graciousness. You know what God was trying to do? Conform you to the image of His Son. That's what He was trying to do. We didn't even realize it. But God is trying to conform us. He's trying to amend. He's trying to change our direction. Listen, Gideon's life was changed by the grace of God. And when he looked at that bowl of water, it was confirmation to him. When he looked at that bowl of water, it was affirmation to him. But when he looked in there, he also saw reformation. Wow. Threshing wheat, leading men. Big difference. You know what God wants to do in your life? And what He was trying to do in 2012? He's trying to get you from threshing wheat to leading men. Listen, folks, I'm going to just be flat out honest with you. America, we're suffering because of leadership. We are in an absolute famine of leadership, not just in our country, but in our homes and in our churches today. And God's trying to help and conform people and mature them to become leaders for the glory of God. You see, Gideon had every opportunity to rescind the offer, but he knew, listen to me, that souls were at stake. People's lives depended upon him obeying God. You see, maybe God spent 2012 trying to amend your life through various means. Maybe God spent this last year wanting you to evaluate your life and your service and your faithfulness. Maybe God spent 2012 trying to readjust some things in your life because you had become dependent on it rather than Him. And folks, when we become dependent upon things or others, God can remove those so that we can come dependent upon Him. The Scripture says God is a jealous God. He doesn't want anything to stand between Him and your relationship. And He has every right to remove whatever He desires. Can I ask you today, look into the bowl full of water. You know what you'll see in your life from 2012? You'll see some confirmation. Yeah, you'll see some confirmation of the goodness of God. When you look deep into that bowl of water as Gideon, when he wrung that fleece out and a bowl full of water appeared, oh, he confirmed the goodness of God. And so can you. When he looked into that bowl of water, it was affirmation that God was paying attention to his life. Listen, I would be concerned if nothing ever happened to me. Thank God that God knows who I am and where I am and He's answered prayer, but that bowl of water was a sign of reformation. God amending, God changing His life. Look into that bowl of water in your life today. That bowl of water changed Gideon's life. You know what God wants to do for you today? He wants to confirm some things. He wants to affirm some things. He wants to reform some things. And 2012 may have been the process that God used as He did in Gideon's life to create a bowl of water, because you're going to need to look into that in 2013. Some of you may face some issues in 2013. You're going to need a bowl of water that God has confirmed. Don't worry, my friend. I'm working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Just trust me. He's going to need to confirm that again in 2013. Some things He's going to need to affirm. Don't worry, I got my eye on you. I know exactly where you are. There's nothing going on that I hadn't approved. I'm in total control. And then in 2013, you may need to look into that water and see that God's trying to reform some things in your life. You know, you're not going to convince me that there's not people here today that God has called into some type of special service. He's spoken to you. Maybe it was like Brother Thomas Jones when he walked down the aisle. Listen, when two teenage boys reached this guy for Christ, you think for one second he ever thought he'd be in Guatemala? No! Never dreamed that. Boy, look at him today. Go ask him if he's happy today. You know what changed his life? A bowl of water. A bowl full of water totally changed his direction. You know what God wants you to do? Look into that bowl of water today. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. No question about it. If I died, I'm going to heaven. Slip your hand way up high. Say, I'm not even ashamed of it. I'll tell you right now I am. All right? Wonderful. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Almost without exception, with heads bowed, eyes closed, almost without exception, every person in this room, except a few, had their hand raised. But there, I did see a few that could not raise their hand, and I don't want you to leave today without knowing Christ. Can I tell you today that we, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on a cross for you, paid your sin debt so that today you could come to church and He would set before you a bowl of water to not only confirm His goodness, but to affirm He knows who you are. That's the reason He brought you here this morning. But also He wants to reform your life. He wants to bring you into the family of God. Would you allow Him to do that this morning? If you said, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand while ago and say that I've been born into the family of God, you say, at least let me pray for you. Would you acknowledge that this morning by just slipping your hand up? Nobody's looking but me. Say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Would you please pray for me? God set a bowl of water in front of you this morning. Would you look there and see the confirmation, the affirmation, and what God is trying to do to reform your life and bring you into the family of God? Don't pass it up. How many say, preacher, pray for me this morning? I don't know Jesus as Savior. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else, you can slip your hand down. God bless you. Who will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I don't want to enter the new year knowing or not knowing that heaven is my home. And you at least let me pray for you. Slip your hand up and join these three. Anybody else? God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Who will join these four? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I'm already a believer, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. The Bible says it. I know that. It's just that I've never obeyed God in believer's baptism. I know it doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It has everything to do with my confirmation that I'm a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. You say, I've never done that, preacher. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I need to obey God in baptism. Slip your hand way up high and say, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. And God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these two and say, preacher, that's me? God bless you. You can slip your hand down. There's three people. You say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, one last thing then this morning. I wonder how many would say, preacher, 2012 has been tough on me. Maybe you hadn't handled every situation like you thought. Maybe you weren't sure exactly what God was doing. Maybe that you took your life, that fleece, and you wrung all of the things out that have happened in your life. Maybe some of you wrung them out on the ground. You said, I'm glad 2012 is gone. I don't want to think of nothing else that happened in that year. It's all bad. Well, it may not have all been bad. I wonder how many this morning would say, preacher, now I understand that God, what God did in my life in 2012, He wanted me to take and wring out a bowl full of water that remind me of His goodness, remind me of His attention toward me, remind me of His grace toward me. How many would say, preacher, now I understand why the things that I went through in 2012, would you pray that I look at the bowl full of water from the right perspective and remember that God's preparing me for what's ahead? I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, that was me. It was me. That's the kind of 2012 I had. All right, God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. God set before you a bowl full of water. Look at it. Look at it. Because there's confirmation there. There's affirmation. There's reformation there of what God is trying to do. Now, Father, meet the needs of the people now during this invitation time. Those that need to come to Christ, I pray at the first note of the invitation, they would come. Those that need to be baptized, that they would come. Those, Lord, that raised their hand and said that 2012 has been a tough year. And Lord, I don't know all the aspects of their life, but I know this, that whatever it was, You've wrung their life out and all the things that have happened, the dew that You've allowed to saturate their life, the situations, the challenges, the crises that have saturated their life now have been wrung out into a bowl. May we not forget them. And may each person look and realize that that bowl is confirmation of the goodness of God. That water is affirmation that there's a God in heaven that's paying attention to our life. And that there's a God in heaven that's trying to reform some things in our life for His goodness and glory. Would you help us, Father, prepare our heart and our mind and our spirit, we pray, for the days ahead. and we'll give all the glory and praise to you. Those that need to come, let them come at the first note of the invitation, that your will might be done in their life. For we ask it this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? As we stand, I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he'll begin to sing. If you raised your hand this morning, would you come and join us? Maybe you just need to come and pray. Then you come. You come. Hey, the bowl of water. The bowl of water is there before your eyes. What do you see? Have you complained? Have you criticized God? Have you forgotten what He's doing in your life? You see, 2012 was preparation for 2013. And you know what 2013 will be? It'll be preparation for 2014. Come on. Come on. Whatever your need is, you come. You come. Hey, the bowl of water is there before you. Come on.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
He's going to sing it through again. Sing it through again, Brother Shaddix.